You can take your Bible, please, and look with me in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. We're talking about what does it look like to follow Jesus Christ. We've looked so far a few weeks ago when Steve preached from John chapter 21, that in order to follow Christ and hear his words, we need to be restored to fellowship with him. We saw with Levi in his call that following Jesus Christ encourages us to create venues where we can invite our lost friends and family to introduce them to Jesus. So we immediately join with Christ in his mission of reaching the lost in this world. Last week we saw that in following Jesus Christ, we must take up our cross daily. We must deny ourselves, that we die in order to experience his life, and that the only way to follow Jesus Christ is to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. This morning, I want to talk about following Christ as the most urgent priority of your life, that it supersedes every other decision. It underlies everything else that we do in life, the urgent priority of following Christ. Listen to Luke's words, Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another one said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus talks about following him as including preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what we enter at that moment we come to faith, when we come in repentance to Jesus Christ. Whether you're aware of it or not this morning, you are part of a kingdom. There are only two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of the Son of God, or there's the kingdom of Satan. There's the kingdom of life. There's the kingdom of death. You are part of a kingdom this morning. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God." Paul said that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And Paul reminds us, as he spoke to his co-workers, that when we are involved in the work of Jesus Christ, we are co-workers in the kingdom of God. That there's really nothing more urgent in life than being in the kingdom and inviting others to become part of that kingdom of God. And so Jesus says, "Follow me, leave everything else, the priority in your life is go and proclaim the kingdom of God, that in Jesus Christ, the restoration of all things has come. First, he comes to restore sinners to a right relationship with God. And again, he will come to restore a fallen and broken world, to bring the kingdom of God to the entire universe. This is our priority today, to hear Jesus's words, follow me and proclaim the kingdom of God. Again, it's the supreme priority we have in life. We see from our text that there are many people who seem to want to follow Jesus, but they want to follow him in their own way. They want to follow him when they're ready. They want to follow him when it fits into their schedule. They want to follow him when it's convenient to follow him. They want to follow him when it doesn't interfere with other things that they have planned for their life. There are people who want to follow Jesus, but only as long as it does not disturb any pre-existing relationships or commitments that they have in life. And Jesus says, that's not the way you follow me. You follow me as the most urgent priority in life. And he tells us that in three ways. Following Jesus, first of all, has priority over finding security in life. Again, listen to his words. Jesus said, as they were going along, a man says, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, well, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air, they have nests where they can rest. But the Son of Man, he has no place. He has no security of where tonight he will lay his head. Do you really want to follow me and find your security in following me? I listened to those words of this ambitious potential follower of Christ. I will follow you wherever you go. Strong words, which unfortunately we're good at strong words. We find it easy to say, I love Jesus, but to obey him in the hard times of life, we find it easy to say, yes, I will follow Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, are you really serious about that commitment to follow me? Are you willing to find your security in me alone? Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ even if you don't know what your future is? All you have is him. Perhaps Jesus knew, he certainly knew something about this man that we don't know. Perhaps he knew that he was impulsive, but he lacked perseverance. He knew that this man had a desire for comfort in life and that he would make commitments, but he would waver in those commitments when faced with insecurities in life. Now, I find it striking how easy it is sometimes to put our trust in a human being than it is to put our trust in God. I've shared with you before how for the last 20 years I have organized a motorcycle ride for family and friends, mostly family, but some friends. And I take the responsibility of choosing where we will ride, whether it will be in West Virginia or New England or upstate New York. I take the responsibility of finding a place where we're going to stay. I map out rides for the 6 days that we will ride. I'm the one that has the maps. I know where we're going. And on a appointed day, I will meet six or seven of family and friends, and we'll all get on our motorcycles. I will be in the lead, and they will follow me. They may know we're going to West Virginia, but they have no idea where to make a left turn or a right turn. They just follow me. They trust me, and sometimes to their danger. Because there have been times that I've blown right through a stop sign into oncoming traffic, and they were smart enough not to follow me. Sometimes we've been on the top of the Blue Ridge Parkway when the fog is so thick that I can barely see 10 feet in front of me, and all they can see is my taillight. There are no guardrails. If I go over, if they're following me, they go over and plunge 3,000 feet below. For the most part, they trust me. But we have such difficulty when the sovereign God, the creator of the world, your redeemer, the one who loves you and rescued you, says, just follow me. Follow me. Do what I tell you to do. Do it when you don't understand it. Do it when it looks like it may hurt you. Do it when it looks like it won't help your future. Do it even if it means it could alienate your friends and family. Just trust me. Follow me. But we want guarantees. We want to sit down with Jesus Christ like we do in a job interview. We have in our mind exactly what we want, what we're worth, what we need to live on, what I should be paid, and we want to bargain with God. I'll follow you if you'll make sure that, you know, my future is secure. And God says, your future is secure in me. But the details, you only know day by day and week by week. We are called to find our security in Him on a daily basis. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray, give us, you can finish it, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I would venture to say that every single person here has something to eat today. It may not be everything you want, but you have daily bread. But at the same time, I would say that many of you, perhaps all of you, are worried about something tomorrow or in the future. It may be your distant retirement. Will you have enough to retire? It may be, you know, will I have a job tomorrow? It may be, will my marriage last? How will my kids turn out? When Jesus says, trust Him today, because sufficient for today, Jesus said, are the evils of life. Just trust Him to get you through day by day. We are called to a friendship and a partnership with Jesus Christ that is meant to provide security for us in life just in knowing Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, I mentioned C.T. Studd in my message. Remember that little saying of his? Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Well, that was his later commitment. But when you read C.T. Studd's story, you realize that when he was initially converted and became a Christian and began to live for Christ, he became lukewarm. And there were about 6 years in his early Christian life where he really wasn't following Christ wholeheartedly. And one day, as he sat under the preaching of D.L. Moody, his heart was stirred, and again he was brought to repentance, and he decided that day, I am going to begin to tell others about Jesus Christ. And as he told others about Christ, he found out how that reinvigorated his spiritual life, that being involved in mission reinvigorated his spiritual life. And ultimately, first he went to China. And after serving in China for a couple of years, when he turned 25, he knew that his wealthy family had put aside a trust fund for him that would sustain him through the rest of his life. And at 25, he receives this inheritance from his family. But he knew his heart. He knew that for him, not for everybody, but he knew that for him to have that security financially about the future would cause him not to trust God and depend on him day by day. And so he began to write checks. He gave a lot of money to Mueller, the famous missionary who took care of orphan children, and gave a lot of money to him. And then he gave it, most of it, away, except he reserved a large sum for his wife-to-be. And his wife took that, his wife-to-be, and she gave it away. She said, no, I want to be like my husband. I want to depend upon God for our security in life, not depend upon our trust fund. And this is what C.T. Studd said later in his life as he gave it all away. Eventually, his wife died. He ended up going to Sudan and doing a wonderful ministry in Sudan. But this is the statement that characterized his life. He said, if Jesus Christ be God, and if he died for me, there is no sacrifice that can be too great for me to make for him. If it's true that he's God, and it's true that he died for me, then there's nothing too great for me to make a sacrifice for him. He found out many times during his ministry that funds were low. They didn't have what they needed for ministry, and they had to depend upon God, and God would somehow faithfully, miraculously supply for him. At one point, he said, funds are low. Hallelujah! That means God trusts us and is willing to leave his reputation in our hands. He trusts us to depend on him. At the end of his life, he was asked why he did everything, why he went overboard in his zeal. And he said it was very simple. How could I spend the best years of my life in living for the honors of this world when thousands of souls are perishing every day? How could I do that? How could I just take the money and buy a boat and live a luxurious, comfortable, convenient life when the world is lost? Now, most of us don't need to do what C.T. Studd did to find our security in Christ. We don't have to give it all away. But we may have to. If possessions and material comfort provide that security and they become a god to us. But for most of us, we just need to struggle with it on a daily basis. Who am I trusting for my security, for my future in life? Secondly, following Jesus not only has priority over finding security in life, but following Jesus has priority over any other duty in life. To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Sounds harsh on first reading. But in the panorama of the duties of life, when you look at all of life, if you think of it in what Paul often applied the gospel to, in what we call the pentathlon of life, you know, your personal life, your family life, your work life, your civic life, your church life. We all have duties in life that we are responsible for. We're often thinking of, well, what comes first? This man says, "Jesus, I'll follow you, but first, let me go bury my father." So he had a linear set of priorities in his life. This is first, and following Jesus will come somewhere after that. But Jesus teaches us, no, every other thing in life is subordinate to the priority of Jesus Christ. He said it in the Great Commandments. What is the first, the greatest commandment? You know it. What is the first commandment? Love God. How much? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbors yourself. What is the priority in life that undergirds every other duty we have in life? Loving God and loving others. Jesus put it another way in Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything in life follows the commitment to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Everything in life becomes subordinate to that commitment. Again, look at our text. Jesus said, "Follow me." The reply is, "Let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead." But if you think about it, if you think about what it means to follow Jesus Christ, Jesus is simply saying that you will not bury your father in the way you ought to bury your father until you first decide to follow Jesus Christ. You can't put together a proper funeral service unless you have first made the priority to follow Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll have a pagan funeral, which is what most funeral services are. They're pagan. I mean, they're nice. They're filled with eulogies of how good that person was and how great of a father and good of a worker and all the things that he did in life. And part of it's true, much of it is lies. But if you're a Christian, then if you have an opportunity to say something at a funeral where there's somebody who has died and people that are thinking about death, then you will do what I did yesterday. I was invited in a secular gathering where they wanted to honor a man who had worked for 20 years at the same place, a hard worker. They wanted to plant a tree in his memory. And they asked me, because they knew I was a pastor, if I would say some words. Now, I imagined that they wanted me to say words that were nice words and good words that everybody loves to hear, and everybody would say, "Oh, what a fine man this was who were planting this tree in his memory." But what I did was I shared my last conversation with that man who had died, because I'd met him casually one day, and he was telling me about this life-ending illness that he was going through. And I was compelled, when someone is thinking about the end of life, to tell him how he can be ready to meet God. And I had a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with him that day and to let him know that you can know that you have eternal life, that death does not have to be feared, because you can know that you're going to enter into the presence of a wonderful and perfect and holy God. And then to be able to put my arm around him and pray with him that day, that he would know what it is to trust Christ as his Savior. I mean, to me, that's a funeral service, but I would only do that because I've made a prior commitment. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and that priority affects everything I do. You will never perform any duty in life the way it should be done for the glory of God unless you have first made the commitment to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. You can't name anything that you do in life that won't be affected dramatically by that priority of following Jesus Christ. It affects the way you are as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a father, as a mother, as a daily worker, as a neighbor, as a citizen. There is nothing in life that is not affected by that prior choice of seeking first the kingdom of God. We note from our text that this little interchange between Christ and this man really focuses on perhaps what is one of the most solemn emotional duties and obligations in life. I mean, what can be more compelling than to make sure that my dad or mom have a proper burial? I mean, when a funeral comes, everything else stops. As a pastor, you get a call and you're told that one of your church members has passed away. It doesn't matter what's on your schedule. That funeral is a priority. And Jesus picks what would be most urgent and compelling in someone's life, picks this instance to let us know that there is no duty in life. It doesn't matter how emotional, how compelling it is, that supersedes your commitment to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. He is the priority, and that works its way out in every area of life. People tell me, I don't have time to read the Bible. Well, you don't have time to read the Bible because following Jesus Christ is not the priority of your life. Because you do read the newspaper, you do watch TV, you do have conversations with people, you are taking in words from men and women all the time in your life. But if you don't have time to take in the words from God, it's because he's not the priority in your life. Yes, somebody, well, I'll see you in church on Sunday. Well, maybe. Well, what do you mean maybe? Well, I don't know what my schedule is yet. What do you mean you don't know what your schedule is yet? You're a Christian. Your schedule is worship Jesus Christ with the family of God every Sunday. That's your schedule. What do you mean you don't know what your schedule is? And I'm serious about that. That's on my calendar. Something comes up, you know, family's visiting this weekend. All right, well, you got to fit into my schedule because Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody was saying the other day that one of the worst things that you can hear from a church member is, "Pastor, I just bought a boat." Or, "I just bought a shore house." Which normally means, "I won't see you on Sunday unless it's raining." And that's why pastors pray for rain all summer long. Let it rain every Sunday so those carnal Christians can come to church. But worship is a priority when you follow Jesus Christ as the priority of your life. The work of the gospel is a priority. Stewardship is a priority. I mean, if you're following Jesus Christ as Lord, then you give him the first fruits of all of your increase. Now, you may do that different ways. You know, I manage all of my finances on my computer on Quicken. And, you know, when my deposit comes in, the first thing that goes on is, this is what belongs to God. This is my acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And I give to him, recognizing that he owns everything that I have, but this is the way that I confess him as Lord. If I received cash, if somebody gave me, you know, my pay was $200 cash every week, as soon as I got that off the top, this is what belongs to the one whom I've chosen to follow as Lord of my life. It works its way out. There is no duty in life that supersedes the duty to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. And then there is no duty in life that isn't affected dramatically when you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Thirdly, following Jesus has priority over all other relationships in life. Another one said in verse 61, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, it sounds harsh, but he knows the weakness of human nature. He knows that family relationships and relationship with friends will never be in the right place until you make the decision to follow Jesus Christ first. Think of applying this situation. A Muslim hears the gospel. He hears that Jesus really is the Son of God, and the Spirit of God is working in his heart. That Jesus really did die on the cross and rose again, and that he can save him. But he says, first, before I make this commitment to follow Jesus, let me go home and talk to my parents about it. Well, we know what will happen if you ask your non-believing family, "Is it okay with you that I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, if I follow him and from this day forward live under the authority of his word?" Why, every Muslim parent would say, "Not in our house." And if you're raised Irish or Italian Catholic, and you say, "I now understand that the church doesn't save me, but Jesus saves me. I want to follow Jesus." And they'll say, "But we're Irish, we're Italian, we're Catholic. This is our identity." You go home to your Jewish father and tell him you want to follow Jesus. And he'll say, you are dead to us. You are not my son. You are not my daughter. We will hold a funeral for you. The answer to the call to follow Jesus is not a communal answer. It's not something that you have to get the approval and affirmation of others. It's you as a sinner, a helpless and hopeless sinner, standing before a holy God who is offering you in his Son, Jesus Christ, life forevermore. This is something that you and you alone must deal with. And it's only then that you can be the true friend and family member that you should be. One that's truly concerned about the eternal welfare of everyone that is in your life. And if it's necessary to have your family have a funeral for you, and I have known that to happen, Jesus put it this way: a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus says you need to risk the temporal fracture of human relationships so that you might possibly gain those relationships back as eternal relationships. He's not diminishing the family. He is prioritizing who he is, and he is prioritizing your ability to be the kind of family member or friend you should be. And I imagine there are people sitting here this morning that know you should be following Jesus, but there's that someone in your life that if you really made that commitment, you fear you might lose them, and you might. It might be a religious family. It might be someone you're living with in fornication. It might be that non-believer that you're dating. It might be that friend or those friends that you like to hang out with, but you sense that if you really put Jesus Christ first in your life, it changes that. And Jesus is simply laying it out. If you're going to follow me, nothing behind you will be the same. You don't look back. Everything changes. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, now that I'm a believer, we look at all human beings differently. We don't see them just as objects of our affection or sources of our affection or people from whom we find pleasure or gain benefits. No, Paul says we see everyone differently because of Christ. Every relationship is transformed when you follow Christ. You don't look at them the same way. Those relationships from the past, now that are in your present and future, are looked at through the lens of following Jesus Christ. You put your hand to the plow and don't look back. And some of us have to be like Elijah when we do that. When we're called to follow Jesus, we're working, plowing with our oxen, and we're working in the field, and we hear the call to follow Jesus, what does he do? He doesn't want to be tempted to go back to the old life, so he takes all of his plowing equipment and he makes a fire out of it. And he takes the oxen that have been pulling the plow, and he makes a sacrifice with it. There is no way to turn back. This is our priority, our most urgent priority in life, is to follow Jesus Christ. He is to be our deepest love, our greatest joy, our security, our strength. We need to be able to say with C.T. Studd, if Jesus Christ is God and he died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, there are hearts today to whom your Spirit is speaking, your Spirit is drawing. You are calling some to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. God, give them grace as they wrestle with their own hearts, as they wrestle with their excuses and their reasons. And do something in hearts this morning that will let someone know the freedom that comes when you say, I will follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Work in hearts today. Bring some to repentance, to renewed faith. And like C.T. Studd, may there be a reinvigoration, a reawakening, a new life in following Jesus Christ as Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.